This is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca.
I want to thank Ambassador John Bolton for joining us. I think he's going to be a fantastic representative of our team.
That was then, March of 2018. This is now. President Donald Trump has fired his national security advisor, John Bolton. According to the president's tweet this morning, "I informed John Bolton last night that his services are no longer needed at the White House. I disagreed strongly with many of his suggestions, as did others in the administration, and therefore I asked John for his resignation, which was given to me this morning." He thanked Bolton for his service and said he would be naming a replacement next week. Just moments ago, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo offered this at a news conference.
I don't talk about the inner workings of how this all goes. We all give our candid opinions. There were many times Ambassador Bolton and I disagreed, that's to be sure. But that's true for lots of people with whom I interact. My mission set is always to make sure, as I run the Department of State, is to deliver America's diplomacy.
Secretary of the Treasury Steven Mnuchin was asked if Bolton's departure would mean a less hawkish approach to Iran.
I would say Secretary Pompeo and myself and the president are completely aligned on our maximum pressure campaign. I think, you know, we've done more sanctions on Iran than anybody, and it's absolutely working. Now, the president has made clear he's happy to take a meeting with no preconditions, but we are maintaining the maximum pressure campaign.
Trump's announcement came just 90 minutes before Bolton was to appear alongside those two secretaries at a White House press room podium for a briefing. He'd served as national security advisor since March of 2018. At least 31 people have been killed in a stampede during the observance by Shiite Muslims of a holy day in the Iraqi city of Karbala, according to the country's health ministry. This is VOA News. Pakistan is calling for the United Nations to investigate the crisis in Kashmir, ignited by a security lockdown and communications blackout imposed by India's government after it downgraded the region's autonomy last month.
India's effort to hide its atrocities in the Indian-occupied Jammu and Kashmir by falsely labeling it terrorism and cross-border terrorism are shameless and indefensible.
Speaking at a meeting of the Human Rights Council on Tuesday, Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi of Pakistan said India had transformed occupied Jammu and Kashmir into the largest prison on this planet. India Vice Minister for Foreign Affairs Vijay Thakur Singh offered this response.
One delegation here has given a running commentary with offensive rhetoric of false allegations and concocted charges against my country. The world is aware that this fabricated narrative comes from the epicenter of global terrorism, where ringleaders are sheltered for years. This country conducts cross-border terrorism as a form of alternate diplomacy.
Meanwhile, residents of a dozen villages in disputed Kashmir say nighttime raids by Indian troops actually began before the New Delhi government stripped the region of its statehood last month. India denies the allegations. The group of eminent experts on Yemen blames all warring parties for the catastrophic humanitarian crisis that has been causing immeasurable suffering for millions of civilians for more than 4 years. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA.
The experts say there are no good guys in this war. All are bad. They say the government of Yemen and its allies, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, as well as the Iran-backed Houthi rebels and armed groups affiliated with them, are responsible for the tragedies. Chairman of the group, Kamel Jandoubi, says the humanitarian crisis in Yemen, caused by the needless death of so many innocent people every day, is completely avoidable. He speaks through an interpreter.
There's no excuse to allow the suffering of the Yemeni people to continue like this. I appeal the international community to take a stand to support the Yemeni people. They do not deserve to live in a world where their most basic human rights are constantly violated.
The experts report many of these actions could amount to war crimes. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The latest reports put the number of civilian deaths since March the 26th of 2015 at more than 7,500. Children account for more than one quarter of all these deaths. For more on all these stories, visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Joe Palca, VOA News.
VOA. VOA1, the voice of America, VOA1.